So have any of you given something up for Lent? Now that's been a custom practiced by some of our Roman Catholic and Protestant friends over the eons, giving up something for Lent. I've been thinking in recent days, because of the news coming out of our state of Iowa legislature and from our national and global news, that maybe, just maybe, instead of giving something up, we might try to give up fear, hatred, division for Lent this year. I mean, how truly remarkable it would be to let go of the things that divide us. Can you imagine it? Can you dream of taking that huge, gigantic bundle of everything that seeks to divide us, like fear and discrimination of the LGBTQ community, the racial discrimination we hold, the divisions caused by political extremists, economics, education, religion, gender, gun violence, ideologies, taking all of that and letting it go? In his book titled, What Are We Fighting For?, Thomas Bickerton writes, "Oh, what an incredible season of Lent it would be if we could let go of all that seeks to divide us and then find our true common unity." Yes, yes, yes. Today's lesson from the Gospel of John seems to understand why it's hard for us to let go of such things. Here we find a story in which Jesus seeks to model the letting go of human division that creates only deeper barriers to life-giving relationships. Reflecting on this story, I've been reminded of how so much of our life of faith is filled with paradox. According to the teachings of Jesus, we grow up by becoming as little children. We find our lives by losing them. We become our truest and deepest selves by giving our lives away. We find the strength and courage to change only when we accept ourselves just as we are. The journey begins not where we wish we were, but truly where we are. And I am reminded again, that acceptance is transformational. For me, I find it a very rare and treasured gift when I am with someone who seems to really know me, who truly seems to, you know, get me, who accepts me for the way that I am. It's a gift when someone loves me for simply being me. This is the gift that Jesus gives to the Samaritan woman at the well this day in the gospel story. It's a gift we're called to offer one another and to give to this world. Now today, I'd like you to consider this Samaritan woman as perhaps a trans woman or a drag performer of our day. She's an outcast, even from her own folks. Now, if the story sounds strange to you, you just have to understand that it would have sounded even more bizarre to the first listeners, to Jesus' followers. As the story goes, Jesus and his group have been on the move. They've been traveling throughout Judea, in the southern part of Israel, and they're heading towards the north country, into Galilee. And in between the south and the north, there is Samaria. Now, routinely, travelers did everything possible to avoid going through Samaria. However, that wasn't part of Jesus' agenda. Jesus was going right through Samaria. Just as in the beginning, Jesus had to go into the wilderness, into the desert for us, so now Jesus has to go through Samaria for us. Now, there was an extreme severe fear and hatred. There was great discrimination and division between the Jews and the Samaritans. This trip by Jesus is heard and seen as being scandalous. Good Jews just did not go that way. Ever since that region had been associated with Jacob, who had lived there some 1,500 years earlier. Jesus is in Samaria, and he's tired from his travels. And so Jesus sits at a well while the disciples go on into town to hunt down to buy some food. And here comes a Samaritan woman. Here comes a trans woman. Here comes a drag performer who raises two new serious issues for Jesus. First of all, men just did not speak to women whom they were not related to. And secondly, this woman was a social outcast. And I say that because Bible scholars all note that respectable people would not have been drawing water in the heat of the day. Only social misfits go out at noon to the well. Now, this person has three strikes against her. She's a Samaritan, she's a woman, she's a social outcast. But Jesus doesn't seem to care. Jesus speaks to her and asks, "Give me a drink." Now that again would have been very, very scandalous, because to have taken a drink from her bucket would have seemed like a very, very intimate request. And the woman then becomes suspicious. "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" She might very well be thinking that this guy has a hole in his bucket. She thinks that something isn't right about him. Jesus relates to her in a way that lets her know that she's right to suspect that there is more going on here than what meets the eye. Jesus says, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you have asked him and he would have given you living water." And I love her response. "Sir, you have no bucket. The well is deep." It's like she's saying, "Hey, listen, buddy, I don't care who you are. You could be Jacob himself, but you've got no bucket." She definitely has some strength about her. Well, it may be true that he doesn't have a bucket, but he doesn't even need a well. Jesus tells her that the water he has to offer quenches the thirst of every weary soul, and she tells him, hey, I want some of that. And then it appears as if Jesus changes the subject, but what he really is doing is taking the conversation to a deeper level. He says, go call your husband and come back. And she quickly replies, I have no husband. And Jesus rewards her honesty by revealing that Jesus knows about her whole entire story. Five husbands, and the man she's living with now is not her husband. And that seems to break everything wide open. Whatever is her story, whatever is her past, she knows that Jesus doesn't care about it. And that's a powerful new start for her. However, she then begins wondering about the theological stuff that divided Jews and Samaritans. She wonders, won't Jesus the Jew condemn her? She says, "Sir, I see you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." It's kind of like the woman is saying, "If you're going to accept me for who I am, well, what about what I am? What about me being a Samaritan? Jesus tells her basically that it's time for her to move past and beyond all of that stuff, to let it go. The hour is coming, and now is here, when the true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth, for God seeks such as these to worship God. Jesus is saying that he cares nothing for her pedigree, but all about her devotion. Well, all that just seemed to sound too good to be true, as if something the woman might expect to happen at the end of times when the Messiah would come. And the woman in the story seems to begin catching on. And then in that moment, in that very moment, Jesus looks her straight in the eye and says, "I am he. I am the one who is speaking to you." No social barriers to God. No theological barriers to God. The woman seems to melt, and the living water of joy bubbles up inside of her so much and is so overwhelming that she just has to go and tell somebody, anybody, everybody, about what has happened. Now, at this point in the story, the disciples return, and they interrupt the conversation, but not without first registering their disapproval that Jesus has spent all of this time with this woman, talking to her. She leaves her water jar by the well and runs to tell others, Come and see this man who told me everything I have ever done. Come and meet a person who knows me through and through and accepts me just as I am. Come and see somebody who lets me know that God really, really loves me. Oh, I tell you, it's a very rare and treasured gift to be with someone who really knows you, who gets you, and who accepts you just the way you are. It's transformational. This woman is transformed. She's changed. She runs to tell others. That's the way it seems to be with Jesus. Jesus today is inviting us into that kind of intimacy and that kind of honesty of relationship. The woman told everybody, come and see somebody who knows everything you ever did and who doesn't bat an eye, who doesn't care about it. That's who Jesus is. It's also who we are called to be as followers of Jesus here in this 21st century. We're called to be people who reach out to everyone, to the outcasts, the social misfits, to rub shoulders with those who are different than we are, to break bread with them. We are those who are to take the gifts that we have been given. And believe me, you and I, we have been given gifts. We have been given gifts, and we are to share them with others. This story is about meeting people where they are, coming to know them, touching them with a love and an acceptance that is nothing like they have ever known before. That is what you and I have received from God's unfailing grace. A love like we have never known. A love that is unconditional acceptance and is transformational. Jesus has shown us the way to cut across the boundaries that would seek only to divide us and to keep us apart from one another. Jesus has shown us the way to be true community. And I just love thinking about that part of the story when the woman left her water jar and with overflowing joy and new hope ran and told others about Jesus. And how the Samaritans came out to see and to meet Jesus and his Jewish disciples, staying with them, spending time together, learning to listen, to believe. For two whole days, the Jews and the Samaritans prayed and worshiped together in unity. It must have been a moment like heaven touching earth. When we are with those around us and we appreciate those around us, when we see those around us for who they really are, when we see them as God sees them, that's when we experience the presence of God in our midst. It's a very rare and treasured gift to be with someone who truly knows you, who gets you, and who accepts you for who you are. So now, I leave you with some questions for your Lenten days ahead. If you found yourself sitting beside Jesus, with all of the stuff happening in our state, in our world today, with all that's been happening within your life, what might you tell him of your journey? If Jesus asks something of you, like giving your time, your energies, doing something, or stopping from doing something, well, what might get in your way? Is there anything you feel God is encouraging you to change? The woman left her jar behind and ran to tell others. Is there something you need to leave behind, to let go of, to leave behind, to walk away from, in order for you to give a stronger witness for Christ, to care and to minister to others? And finally, can you and I really trust God? Can we really trust God to meet our needs? Questions for our Lenten journey. Thanks be to God. Amen.